Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we got a lot to talk about. We got the World Series. Okay, we'll talk about that. We got Texans stuff. We've got Kevin Durant was on the pivot, had a lot of interesting stuff to say. We'll hear some of that. Oh, it was.
I
it
bet
was
Ryan Clark got super serious at times.
I know. Yeah.
Kevin, when you think of yourself as a man,
what about? Well, he did. He did admit he's got a burner account. And we'll hear about that.
He really can't control that anymore. Cat's out of the bag on that one.
Diana Rossini stumbling over trying to explain her report. And I have proof that Mookie Betts is not gay.
Okay.
I have that proof.
All right. That's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, no, we got
Let's
a lot of
Let's go to Willie
Fritz to
right now, head coach at University of Houston.
No, we're not. That was yesterday. We're going to have Mike Elko today. Did you hear?
9 o'clock. I told the Aggies, you know, they said coach wants to do it every other week when the season started. I'm like, okay. And then it got to be, they go and they basically take over Death Valley, like literally made it Kyle Field, and then did basically LSU a giant favor by firing Texas A&M fired Brian Kelly. And I reached out and said, hey, guys, it'd be really great if we could get Coach on this week so we don't have to rehash 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And you got a bye week. The Aggies are on bye week. They go, yeah, let me check with Coach. Yeah, he said he'd do it. How about 9 o'clock? Like, yeah,
perfect.
That's perfect.
Yeah, no, that's great.
So 9 o'clock, Aggie Coach fans. Elko would join us. The number 3 ranked Texas Aggies.
Yeah, and they should.
Okay, that's
okay. Okay, are Ohio State and Indiana better?
I think so, but I don't know for sure with Ohio State.
Who has the best resume?
I don't know.
I think the Aggies. They have the best.
Indiana's beating the brakes off everybody.
They have the best wins in the country.
Well, that's great, but Indiana wins. Going away against everybody. Like,
yeah, no.
A&M has had some.
What?
My resume, I look at how are you doing on defense? How are you doing on offense? I think the Aggies have an issue with stopping good running games. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to hold it against. I think if they played each other, I think Indiana would win.
Yeah, but see, I don't agree with the way you look at it.
But like, you're only like going
when,
by strength of
like
schedule.
Like when Texas was still ranked high, you were like, well, their defense is great. Yeah, but they've lost 2 games.
Yeah, but you basically are saying you only are as good as whatever your schedule is.
You're only as good as your record and your schedule, yes.
Your schedule.
Well, that's what you should be judged on. You can't be judged on stuff that you haven't
played. I judge on how
done.
You play. I'm talking about how they're playing. I'm watching how they're playing. It's not, you know, you only can, eventually you have to play certain teams in every conference. Eventually you have to play them. And I know what they did when they went into Oregon. Man, I mean, that was impressive.
Absolutely.
That was an impressive win.
That was that
LSU's
was one of the best wins
a,
of the
it turns
that was
out
one
LSU's
of the best
not
wins,
a very good team.
Of the season. Yes.
Agreed. I like the Aggies. You're just asking me a question. I'd say I'm not doubting Kurt Cignetti. He was there last year. He's there this year. They're beating the brakes off everybody. They went in and literally dominated Oregon, to be honest with you. Took Dante Moore completely out of the Heisman race. Ohio State, I don't know about Ohio State. I barely even seen them this year.
Yeah, I know.
They're barely even on TV. I don't even know where they are on TV. Who have they even played this year?
Yeah, I know. They've been.
They beat Texas. Big deal anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, we have not seen Ohio State this year.
Have we? I'm like, I was thinking about this weekend. Well, by now, I would have seen five Ohio State games.
Well, we saw Texas. That's it.
Yeah, I see Texas a lot. I don't see Ohio State on.
No, you saw Ohio State and Texas.
Oh, that's the only. Yeah, that's like it.
That's it. That's it.
I've seen Northwestern more than I've seen Ohio State.
They pounded Illinois 34-16, but they played Wisconsin, who sucks, Minnesota, Washington, Ohio, Grambling.
Washington was a quote-unquote good win.
This is big, and they got Penn State.
And Penn State.
Terrible.
Purdue,
UCLA.
Rutgers,
and Michigan.
And a Michigan team that's frankly, I don't know. That's what I was saying. I feel like I know what I have with Indiana. I don't really know what's saying in those guys. I'm sure they're really good. I mean, they got probably the best player in college football at wide receiver, but I don't know. They haven't really been.
If you're going by resume, Ohio State is. I can't. Yeah, I have no idea. No idea.
I mean, Del, we have to assume. I mean, they're the defending national champs.
Del, you agree with Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, and Aggies 3?
Well, I mean, they're just. I don't really care because once the playoffs cut, once we had the playoffs, I cared less about the rankings.
Well,
now it'll
be important when it's playoff time. Well, who you're playing?
The two Big Ten teams, if they stay on the same track, they'll play each other in a conference title game. We'll find out how good those two guys are.
That's what I'm going to find out. And plus, if you're a Final Four, it's actually not going to matter what seed you are because you're going to be playing on a neutral field.
It depends. The matchup, you might get a better matchup. You might get to go to a place you'd rather play in the second round.
Closer to you.
Yeah, it all depends. So the seeding will matter a little bit. As I said, Indiana and Ohio State will play each other. I think Indiana, they've got their foot on the gas all the time. You saw what they did. Now, Illinois has fallen off. They've got another loss, but they beat the brakes off of Illinois, a top 20 team at the time. They beat them like 50, whatever it was. Of course, they went into Oregon. That's the most impressive win of the season so far. The Aggies are good.
And they covered this last week with his brother's Mendoza brother. Playing. The little brother came in and covered the number.
I'm less concerned about that than others.
Not,
but
that's impressive.
I think the Aggies at three.
They covered first and second half.
It's fine. When you talk about the
Aggies covered too.
Yeah, they do. They went into LSU and won. If you talk about totality of resume, the Notre Dame win still will continue to stack up because I think Notre Dame will wind up in the playoff.
Well, you know, Notre Dame was when it didn't look as great when it was a two-loss Notre Dame. But I always the whole time I felt like, yeah, but Notre Dame, you can tell,
they're
going to
wind up.
This,
yeah, they're going to wind up probably top 10, top 8, and be in the playoff. They'll be fine. Yeah. That's a good.
That's
one
another
for the
one
Aggies.
That doesn't have a great schedule either. But
like Tennessee,
if the Aggies go through. Go to Missouri and win. Beat Texas. Win the win the SEC championship game against Alabama or whomever.
Yeah. If we're projecting that,
I don't know. Will an Ohio State win over Indiana or Indiana win over Ohio State mean more?
Who really cares? You're debating stuff that is irrelevant because
they have
to play to win. Yeah, it really is because you have to win. If the Aggies are that good, then they should be the favorites to win a national title.
Well, right.
If they're beating all these teams, it should be A&M minus.
The seeding will matter.
The point matters.
Well, I'm saying they have to play.
With your matchup, you might get an easier matchup because you're the one. Some of it does matter.
That's all
great,
but my point is, who cares when you have to play the game and beat the opponent?
Well, he just asked a question. Once the game,
right?
Once the season is over, he's projecting them to keep winning. If that happens,
yeah.
The strength of opponent may determine if you win the game.
They're
or not.
They won't. Well, the polls don't matter at the end of the year.
Well, I'm talking about the CFP, like,
exactly.
Because they take into account what happens at the end of the year. If the Aggies have the best resume and they're number one, that might determine where they play in the neutral
site. One of those teams getting beat up top,
and it'll also determine who they play in the second round. Do they get a really good team or they get an ACC team who's not very good if they're the one or the two? Some of that will matter.
If the Aggies win out, I could see them ahead of Indiana. I don't see them ahead of Ohio State if Ohio State wins.
Well, Ohio State would have to beat Indiana.
I know, but if Ohio State wins out,
right?
They're not going to displace the reigning champ.
Ohio State has one real quality.
But they're
win.
There every year. That stuff matters to people. They're blue blood. They're blue blood in the CFP, not A&M.
If they go unbeaten and win the SEC, I'm going. The Aggies are going to be number one.
It just means.
I think it depends on if Ohio State runs through the schedule like they've so far done unchallenged, yeah. Really. I could see them saying, yeah, the schedule doesn't match up.
But especially if they beat number two.
They have been clearly, offensively and defensively, the best team in the country. That perception.
By the way, have you taken a look at A&M's at Ohio State's defense? You ought to go look at those numbers. Matt Patricia's got people in a blender right now.
Okay, so they gave up 7, 0, 9, 6, 3, 16, 0.
Yeah. Matt Patricia has people in an absolute blender right now. So they're not bypassing Ohio State if Ohio State wins out, not the national champs. Indiana, they might. But if Indiana beats Oregon and Ohio State and they were in the big dance last year, I don't know. You know, the Aggies are the newcomers. Aggies have never been here. They don't know what this is like. This is great. Elko would probably prefer that we not spend the first segment talking about this because we could jinx it.
Wow. Scott, Longhorn Scott said, Texas will beat A&M. This discussion is pointless.
I'll be surprised if Texas stays within 9.
Guaranteed, he said.
Even at home, wow. I'm going to be really surprised if Texas is even in the ballpark. They struggled so bad against two teams that haven't won. They haven't won conference games.
No, it just was guaranteed.
Listen.
Apparently you didn't. Oh, it was guaranteed.
Kentucky lost have lost 18 straight in conference. Mississippi State hasn't won since 23 in conference, I think. Texas is barely beating these teams. And they can't really score against real teams. How are they going to keep up with A&M? Honestly, A&M's going to score 30. Yeah, I don't listen to his guarantees. I was guaranteed Arch is a great quarterback. Yeah. All I know is that A&M's going to get to 30 on pretty much anyone they play. You're not stopped. And Texas defense isn't very – they're not that good. I thought they were actually really good after Ohio State, and then it turns out, you know, after the last couple, I'm like, I thought they were better than this. What are you going to do when you face the Aggies? Honestly, the Aggies are getting to 31 points on you, minimum. Can you score with the Aggies?
Apparently, you didn't see them play Mississippi State last week.
I saw when they were down 17 to the 17 to the Cowbells in the fourth. I saw it.
Hey, they got bigger fish to fry. They got Vanderbilt this week.
You're probably not getting past Vandy, if we're being honest.
And then at Georgia.
Yeah. This is – Scott, you need to hang on and try not to lose four games this year.
Well, he's not here for your disrespect because he called in. So maybe stop talking about the man when he's available to talk back.
Let's hear him. I want to hear this.
You're just about to get propaganda.
The Longhorns, great team. Arch Manning never throw incomplete pass.
Marshall Reed, greatest quarterback in all of USA. He has no problem with defense that know how to contain mobile quarterbacks. Let me tell you something. Let me paint a picture for you, right?
Okay.
Let's assess it, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, the Horns O-line has been really underwhelming, and the season has taken a different route. No doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously. However, when you stop to take a look at this, and you can discount this all you want, I think slowly there's been an evolution of this team. And Lance, you're the son of a coach, for crying out loud. And John, you played at Knox College, of all places. Like, if there isn't a guy that understands what it means to, like, bow up and figure out a way to win. But here's the thing. Texas is going to finish 3-1. I'm going to Athens, and unfortunately, until we can beat Kirby Smart, we can't beat Kirby Smart, right? So, Pavia, we're going to have a little something for Pavia. And here's the thing about it. So let's imagine A&M keeps winning, and they will, because Bama can muster something, which I'm not convinced they will. A&M's playing great. They got a great team this year.
They could definitely beat Alabama. A&M can definitely beat Alabama.
I think Elko's a great coach. I agree. They could beat A&M or Bama. But imagine this. Let's say that plays out that way. Regardless of what Texas does, you're going to Austin. You're A&M. You're on the cusp of something amazing. And all you got to do is beat this team that you hate. The team that made it to the SEC championship before you did. The team that you couldn't beat the last chance you had on the way out of the Big 12. Like, your whole life is measured against the University of Texas, so much so that when they built Reed Arena, they built it like 25 seats bigger than the Irwin Center, right? But this is what these people are. This is their whole thing. Texas, under Pete Kwiatkowski, defends mobile quarterbacks very, very well. This ain't going to be LSU where he's running around like he's going through a flea market, picking up, bootlegs. He's laboo-boos or
have you
like
seen Concepcion and have you seen the wide receivers that you think this is? You think he runs for 250 yards a game? The problem is you've got two wide receivers that are going to be massive, massive issues for anybody they face.
Okay, I got a question for you both. What if Caldwell plays great this week?
That's a Scott question.
Okay, what if Caldwell plays great? Are you, and I mean, the offense looks like a machine against Vanderbilt. Are you, you benching Arch?
No, you're not. No, you're not, because if you're paying attention, like, I'm not talking about, like, watching highlights on ESPN every weekend and college game day finals.
We don't live in Hawaii. We can actually see these games,
Yeah,
Scott.
We watch the game, Scott. He has not been good.
He hasn't been good.
If you're watching the Horns this year, and you can tell me you're watching it, and you're not telling me that Manning is making progress, and he had actually – look, the problems we've been facing are we've got to figure out and come out with the right game plan and make adjustments quicker. They did a better job of that. They fart around. Then they muster and go, oh, yeah, we got five stars everywhere. Let's go win this thing. And they figure it out. They got to do that from the jump street. But at the end of the day, Manning is making progress. Caldwell is here to do exactly what he's going to do. He came in from Troy because he's an experienced guy to fill in when you need him to.
All I know is we got to hang up because we got to go. All I know is dude comes in and throws beautiful passes, and he won the game for you. When Arch went out a couple games ago, he came in, threw a beautiful ball. All I know is if dude plays well this week.
Well, it's not going to be a – there's no controversy.
No,
I mean, Scott's right.
But there should be. The only reason there's no controversy is because his name is Manning.
Yeah, he would have been out. He would have been out way before this.
Oh, no kidding. YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love. You won't be able to watch college football or college game day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. Lance, I want to keep Taqueria.
Taqueria Sarandas. I wish that Saul would hear this and he would bring us breakfast, Dell. That's what I wish would happen. In a perfect world, I'd have chorizo and egg this morning. Sitting right in front of me in a bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast taco. For you, your perfect world might be a bean, egg, and potato taco. It might be something with potato, egg, and cheese. It might, you know, there's any number of combinations that you have. And they've got your breakfast waiting for you this morning at Taqueria Sarandas. You can stop in, get it to go. You can pick it up on your way to work. You can sit down and have a sit-down breakfast, maybe do what I do, which put your headphones in and get your phone tilted up right and watch one of your shows. Maybe just listen to us while you're eating. You can do that as well on our app. So Taqueria Sarandas wants to feed you for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for any time. They're not going to bust up your wallet. It's still an affordable, authentic Mexican dinner without breaking down your, you know, paycheck and taking out from you. So this is what I want. I want you to get good food at a good price with locations all over the city of Houston for lunch, for dinner, for breakfast. I mean, for a lunch, dinner, or breakfast, anytime. It's Taqueria Sarandas.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get JT in here, and then I want to play some of this KD stuff. What's up, JT? How you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'd like to talk a little bit about college football. Thank goodness you guys are finally talking about the greatest sport instead of talking about that trash-ass organization and Kirby. But getting back to college football, I'm a new Aggie fan. I grew up a Texas Longhorn fan. My kid now goes to A&M, or really kind of, you know, started paying attention. Hey, I'm an Aggie fan now, right? One thing about the Aggies is I don't think they have ever really had a good coach. And whenever they hired Mike Elko last year, he's a football coach. He's not a salesman. He's not, you know, flea market salesman. He's not a used car salesman. This dude coaches ball. And apparently this guy knows ball. And they have a bunch of dogs in College Station. And I think everybody, in any, even long-term Aggie fans with this BAS, they're just waiting for the floor to drop out. And I even sent it with you guys when y'all are like, ah, you know, they're Aggies. Da-da-da. But tell me when an undefeated SEC team is not getting the coverage like the Aggies are not getting coverage. I mean, they play in supposedly the toughest conference in America. All they're doing is winning, you know. And if you want to talk about complimentary football, the Aggies, when the offense isn't doing it, the defense steps up, vice versa. When special teams does something and it needs to make a play, they're making it. If you're watching the Aggies appear to date to be for real. And that's where I think a lot of people are having a hard time understanding it because, again, it's 8-4. Let's wait till November. But if you look at them, I think this is going to be a fun year to be an Aggie.
I think we both agree. I think John and I both agree with you. The problem is you mentioned something. The bottom falls out on the Aggies at some point, historically. So you actually pointed that out. I think we're believers in them. I'm actually a believer, John. I think you're a believer. Absolutely. Here's the thing. Do you really think they're not getting any coverage? I think because college football is so – there's so much pseudo-parity in college football right now that I think Pavi and Vanderbilt, for some reason, have this unusually high amount of coverage. I mean, they only have one loss. But, you know, Pavi is a little – Is somebody calling the Baker Mayfield or Johnny Manziel's? I'm like, that's actually not bad. But I don't know. Are the Aggies not getting any coverage? I mean, they were just
they've been on
national television against Notre Dame. They were on national television. And I said they were the spotlight game against Notre Dame at night. They were just the spotlight game against LSU. Like, they've already got two spotlight games in their first seven. I don't know that they're not, and I'm just, they've been on national television, I think, five times.
And Lance talked about it a little bit earlier. Ohio State is there. Ohio State is, you know what? They've got the reputation. They're there every year. They, you know what? They're getting a pass. They don't need a pass. Look at, they've given them 41 points all year in seven games. But they haven't played anybody, but they get the respect. The Aggies need to earn that. The Aggies have got to earn that. To be at the top and stay at the top of college football because, like exactly what you said, the bottom falls out. If the bottom doesn't fall out, they're starting to get a lot of love. I'm seeing Herb Street and Galloway and all of these guys all talking about the Aggies. I mean, the Aggies are real. The Aggies are really, really good, and they're starting to get love. But a little slow to the table, you can understand it. The Aggies haven't done it yet. They haven't been there yet.
I'll flip it on them. How much have you heard about Ohio State this year? We just got done talking about it.
Yeah.
Ohio State, the Aggies have gotten more coverage than Ohio State, in my opinion. At least what I'm hearing, I don't see anyone talking about Ohio State. And it's just because they're a given, they're a known commodity, and now they're playing a Penn State team that's not any good this year. They don't play Oregon. They don't have a competitive – Washington was – that was a good win at Washington, but – you know, who are they going to play? The Texas game was a big deal when it went down, and then Texas hasn't lived up to the hype. So that game kind of, I don't know, it kind of drifts away. Like, I don't really think about that game anymore.
Yep.
Like, I still think about Notre Dame, A&M beating Notre Dame. I still think about that because Notre Dame's on my mind. I know Texas only has two losses and Notre Dame has two losses, but their route to these two losses, their route beyond the losses, Texas started as number one, and now they're like, are they still out of the top? Did they make it into the top 25 this week with that behind 17-point win against a team that hadn't won in their own conference in a couple of years?
Yeah, 20th.
Yeah, that's like, we all know.
They still only have two losses, even though
I know
they're hanging on by a fingernail.
They're plus 1,500 to make it into the playoffs. And even Scott, who's as delusional as it gets to an extent, he even said, you know, we're not beating Georgia.
They're not getting to the playoff. They're not getting to the playoff.
Now, you beat Pavia. That's, you know,
that'll be good if they
beat
Pavia.
Vanderbilt, that's a good win for the Longhorns.
Yep. Heck, how about that? Vanderbilt is a quality win.
I would say it's their – it would be their best win of the year. It's better than Oklahoma. The Oklahoma – the Oklahoma win doesn't, it's starting to mean a little less. It means a lot, I should say, to Texas. But Vanderbilt's a better win, right, than Oklahoma?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Vanderbilt is.
Congratulations, Keith, you found one.
At the time, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma was sixth in the country.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a better win. After last weekend, Ole Miss beating Oklahoma. I guess it's a better win. I mean, we'll get to the KD stuff on the other side. But we have to continue to remind you, it is important. It is important that you get to keepmynetworks.com, keepmynetworks.com. YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball. You don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose all this stuff. So go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN on YouTube TV. And for those of you that are doing your own payroll, you need HR&P. HR&P. HR stands for Human Resources and Payroll. That's what it is. What a great name, HR&P. And listen, they will take care. I set them up. I set Chris up with a friend who's got a business, and I said, "Hey, why don't you take a look at his business?" And they did. They did a deep dive into the business, and they found that they could save him $150,000 a year. That is, they've only got 35 employees. And they could save them now what is that to the bottom line? And that's a small company. That's one of their smaller companies. What they're saving bigger companies is incredible. If you've got branches in other states, that's not a problem. If you've got 1,000 employees, not a problem. 2,000, doesn't matter how many employees you've got. But they will save you money doing the payroll, doing the HR. And the technology is second to none. It's flawless. And the doing your taxes as well, it's all perfect. Let them look at your business. It's absolutely free. Let them look and see what they can save you at HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
With some flavor in your ear this morning. Flavor. Craig Mack singing like this. Craig Mack. Craig Mack was one of the original mumble rappers, but I like Craig Mack. John, you would hate it today. We're wearing hoodies. It feels good outside. Children are laughing and playing. Puppies are rolling around in the grass, having a good time. Everyone is enjoying themselves in nice weather. You would absolutely hate it.
Oh, it's going to be 85
it's not
here.
It's not oppressive.
It's going to be 85 here. Perfect.
We're going to be in the 70s. Ugh, gross.
That's gross.
72.
No, got this morning.
Actually,
it was
we may
hot.
Not even get to 72 this morning.
That's terrible. I hate that.
Lovely.
It is. We've known forever. You got the KD burner thing ready? We've known forever that Kevin Durant had a burner account. We've seen it, right? It was a couple of years ago.
He admitted to it. He admitted to it previously.
Yeah, he admitted to it. But we never, we're all like, KD, don't be soft. Why do you care? Well, actually, he explained why he cares. And it's actually kind of funny. He was on The Pivot with Ryan Clark. Who else is on that?
Oh, by the way, our boy Brian Caswell, super Aggie. I'm sure he's listening every day now that the Aggies are really good. He's like patio weather at his restaurant, La Tule. So I'm going to go enjoy patio weather and listen to The Pivot podcast with Kevin Durant. It's also Fred Taylor and Channing Crowder.
Yep.
And they usually just nod to what
whatever
Ryan's serious conversation is.
Right. He didn't cry in this one, I don't think.
Did he apologize for anything?
He didn't. I don't know if he apologized for anything yet. But here's KD on his burner. He asked, why? Why you got a burner?
Did you have the little button switching back and forth?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I wanted to be stealth. I didn't want nobody to know that it was me. I mean, that's really why you get a burner account.
I can see you cussing him out. I can see you cussing out, what's his name, Windhorse.
all them Shams Charania. Why are you so worried about what the man living in his mama basement say about you?
I mean, he need to know too. Like, seriously, if you want to, if you're questioning what I'm doing, then shit, why not get it from the source if you're that interested? So yeah, sometimes it's a millions and millions of people that I done probably overlooked.
Yeah.
But when I respond to two or three people, it's like, how you talking to everybody? I'm like, you're exaggerating now. I'm talking to everybody. I might talk to one or two people here and there. I might give them a quick 30 seconds and then I'm moving on about my day. But
to the next one.
Like I said, when you look at the big picture, I really believe that these people that I might be shitting on sometimes, they enjoy these interactions.
100%.
That might push them to go buy some more NBA tickets or buy the league pass or want to subscribe more to our game.
Shut up.
I feel like
if
we all were a little bit more authentic with these responses, all of our games are growing. I'm starting to see more and more players now. You seen Russell Wilson. Every time I see a guy come out and just say something like that, I'm like, I know I inspired that just a little.
Bro, hold on a second. He was asked about his burner, and then he switched it up.
Well, he says, growing the game.
But from a burner? He didn't answer the question. The question is about why are you doing it from a burner? They need to know, too. Then just do it from your right. Now, I don't know how much he uses burner because he comes from his regular account now. I doubt he even uses his burner much because he gets, like, and here's the thing. He will just come after a random person who makes a comment. I've seen his when he has an interaction, it goes viral.
Right.
And I've seen, like, he went after somebody who's a Rocket fan the other day. I can't remember the guy's name, but this Rocket fan on Twitter made a comment, and KD had to come in after him. And I'm just thinking,
he came off the top rope.
It wasn't even that big a deal, to be honest with you.
Hey, I had
they need to know too.
The other day, I put out the D'Amico thing,
right?
The other day, and I had to tell a guy to EAD. That's all.
Why do you think you went, Kevin Durant?
He started it. He called me a jackass, and he came out after me. I had to call him a dumbass and EAD. That's all.
Well, I don't think. Well, that's not what Kevin Durant is proposing.
Well, that's what I did.
He kind of does call people that in a way.
Why you got to be ugly? I said, why are you so mad? Why you got to be so
ugly? You want Bill O'Brien on him? What are you so mad about?
What you so mad about? Right. I don't know. Is your video stop and minus appears to be going in and out?
I don't know. I'm not looking at it.
I don't know. But it sounds good. Okay. Last night, the Blue Jays came back 6-1.
They beat Ohtani.
If they would have won that game the other night, they'd be on the brink right now.
Of a sweep.
Not a sweep because the Dodgers won game two.
If they had won the game the other night.
The Dodgers, if they won game three in that extra.
Oh, wait, we're already on game four.
We've got four games in.
That's right. Yep.
So it's 2-2. So, but listen. They ain't going away now.
The Dodgers were -600 to win the series headed into that series. It's headed into that series.
How about
that? That's disrespectful to a team who's already proven that they can put some run on your good pitchers. They did that on Blake Snell already. And when you get to the end of the year, you just never know what guys have left. So that was a little – I thought that was a really – you want to make it -400 or whatever, that's fine. But -600 against the Blue Jays, and now that they've gone – now that they've made it 2-2, like, shoot, anything's possible. I mean, the Dodgers are still the favorite. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I don't love that they got your Savage back on the mound, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's not –
Well,
He's
but they
great.
Beat. He won game one. So, you know what? Here we go again. Here's game five. Three games left in the season.
Wait,
That's
wasn't
it.
He the one pitch? No, was it game one or game three? That
game
he was
one.
Pitched? Oh, who
Savage
was pitching
beat
game three?
Blake Snell.
Oh, that's right.
And they got here.
That's
we go
right because I was at the Rockets watching that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but here, okay. So after the game, they lost the game. And this is the question that was posed to Mookie Betts, who I got to meet. He's actually a pickleball player, and I told him I'd beat his ass in pickleball.
Mookie. Why would you tell a grown athlete that you would beat his ass in pickleball?
I told him I'd beat his ass, and that's all. And he said, "Well, let's go. What? Come on, tough guy, let's go." And so, you know,
so
at
you
some
never
point,
played him.
No, at some point, no, I could say stuff and not do it. That's a fine. That's fine. That's what. But here is the question. It was a weird question. Here was the question posed to Mookie Betts last night.
When you put your head on the pillow tonight, what will you think about? When you go to bed tonight, put your head on the pillow tonight, what will you think about Shohei? Will you think about Freddie? What jumps out at you?
I'm probably not going to think about another man while I'm in bed.
Sure enough.
I wish he would have said, I wish he would have said that Italian dude that got caught up in the Chauncey Billups thing. And he would have been talking about you.
No, I'm not the Italian dude that got caught up in the Chauncey Billups thing.
Well, to be fair, there was
a lot of other
Italians
that are in it.
Many Italians.
He's one of
the
several,
most Italians.
One of several Italians.
No, no. The one with the
guy who challenged me to pickleball. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't think about me. I just got now. Is that not proof positive to Mookie Betts? He's just telling everybody, I'm not gay. Just so you know,
I don't think that's.
That's what
proof
he wanted to tell that
of
man.
Anything.
That's what he told that man.
When he lays his head down to sleep, he don't think about another man. That's fine.
Do you think that it will upset a lot of Californians?
No.
Here today,
I think they're that more upset that. About losing no. to the Blue Jays. I think that's what they're upset about.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of them. Let's just be real. An LA loss is within our sights. You know, a collapse. Like I got to see the Yankees collapse.
Is it a collapse?
Well, yeah, because everyone thought this is like, all right, we look at this, we roll through the NLCS, we're gonna roll. They will be as disappointed as the Dodgers were. I mean as the Yankees were.
Yeah.
It was another Yankees disappointment. It couldn't have gone any better. And now if the Dodgers lose to a Blue Jays team that doesn't have like you know, lockdown starters. Well, it's not like this is a team.
Aren't they the
with...
one seed from the AL?
Who?
The Blue Jays?
Yeah, but no one's perceiving them as a real threat to the Dodgers. That's why they were
well, it's too late.
That's why it was minus 600
well,
in game.
Well, everyone's
this
perception is wrong.
This is you being by saying this. By,
what?
By Coastal.
I don't know.
You grew up in LA as a Dodgers fan.
I just
fan.
Don't know if I position it as a collapse in a series they've never let it.
Oh, it's...
Actually, they tied.
Everyone
the
thought they were
going
to win,
but the Blue Jays took Game One. I mean,
you don't think the Dodgers fans?
I mean, the Dodgers fans do, but who cares?
Do you
they're
think
not
the
smart?
Dodgers fans? Well, but this is who I want to feel the pain. Dodgers fans.
Yeah.
Who else would I care?
That's
about?
Fine.
Not the listen, players. I care about the fans having a terrible life.
Last night I was
terrible
I was,
life.
Last night I was going home, and I stopped. It was in the second inning, and I stopped to get something to the grocery store. And there's a guy in a Dodgers hat and shirt on. It's the second inning, and he's at a grocery store. I said, you're a terrible fan. You are not a good person. Why are you wearing that stuff when you're not even watching
out.
A World Series game?
Maybe his wife said
how do you know he didn't
something?
Have an ear? How do you know he wasn't listening on the radio and had an earbud
he
in
didn't
one
have
ear?
A, he didn't have an ear.
You don't know that man's life. Maybe he got bossed out of the house by his wife.
Well,
hey,
then,
go
you know
get
what?
Me something.
You're, it's even worse.
Maybe
than
his
I thought.
Child had 104 fever
yeah,
and he had
know.
To get. Wow, somebody's kid had 104
maybe
fever and he's not allowed
dad.
To get medicine.
He could be a great
he wasn't,
dad.
He was in the meat department.
Well,
okay?
Everyone's hungry at home.
Maybe his son said only protein will break this fever.
Okay, get that stuff done, Dodger
hey,
fan.
When the wife tells
and
you
watch.
Something.
You're not even watching the World Series.
Yeah, it's a
terrible.
Long game. He had 18 innings the night before. He knows it's going to be a long one.
He didn't stay up for the 18. I don't know anybody that stayed up for the 18. Nobody. No one stayed up for
no,
that.
No, you couldn't have stayed up
it was impossible
that.
To stay up.
It was literally impossible to
that's
stay
why
up.
What,
was that a better game or Game 5, Dodgers-Astros?
What? What Astro fan?
I wouldn't know. I couldn't make it past like the 12th inning of the Dodger game. How would I know? I don't know what happened those six innings. Nobody cares about the Dodgers. Well, they all cared about the Astros.
That's right.
Beating the Dodgers.
Everybody
watched. Everyone
cared
care about that.
Quite a bit about the Dodgers.
I care about them having a.
Everyone cares.
I care about
the
them having a bad day.
About the Astros.
Except for my guy Saul, who grew up in L.A. and is a Dodgers fan, and he's right now listening from Talk Radio around us. He said Dodgers in six. I don't think so.
Oh, stop already.
I don't think so. No. Shohei Ohtani is not going to hit 2 and 3 home runs every game.
No, he was about 0-for last night. He sucked. And he got the loss on
he
the mound.
He was the donkey of the day. Donkey of the day.
Charlemagne? You Charlemagne? Donkey of the day.
I didn't know if you picked that up.
Yeah, I picked
donkey
it up.
Donkey of the day. Yep. Because I feel like we should have invented that.
Well, too late. He got to it first.
Yeah, no.
Charlemagne the God.
Well, we could call it Ass of the Day, because that's the same thing.
I thought those are different sites, I think, we're talking about. Ass of the Day?
Yeah.
That's a different site altogether.
You're going to find that on a different site.
There is something called Ass of the Day.
Yeah, there's something else, but it's completely different than what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Booty. No, can't do that one either.
No, that's not really what we're trying to accomplish here.
We've got
Dunce
to.
Of the Day.
Jackass?
Who says dunce?
Jackass of the Day?
Who says dunce anymore? That's a dead word.
No one says that.
No.
Only CJ's the only reason he brought back lollygagging.
Yeah,
we got to have
shenanigans. Lance Berkman brought that
shenanigans.
Back.
Shenanigans is a good word. Yeah, a lot of these words are just dying.
Yeah.
On the vine.
Let's talk right now. You know what's alive and well and bigger and better than ever? Republic Boot Company, bigger, better. They bought the entire building. Okay, now they can fit up to like 200 people. If you've got a party, a corporate event that you want to have, or just I don't know, an engagement party. Or whatever it is that you a Christmas party, have it. They got a stage. They got the music. You don't even have to just go there on Friday. It's a party. They got a bar where they can't sell anything because they don't have a liquor license. They just give it away. It's an incredible place. We love it. But here's the deal. It's got leather. Okay. So if you want anything leather, whatever it is, and if you want to customize, you do it now. You got to do it now, okay? And Lance, you can get rodeo ready now.
Yeah, you got to go there for your boots. I mean, right off the shelf, these boots are incredible. But they can also custom fit it to your foot. They've got hats. They can custom fit the hat. They've got cowboy hat cleaning. They've got your belts, belt buckles. They've got whatever it is that you want. All of your accessories are available there as well. It's like it's basically like you're stepping into a museum of Texas. It's really cool. Somebody who grew up with Texas history and taking classes in Texas history, a lot of cool stuff is in there that I think you're going to really enjoy. If you're in the Heights and you just want to drop in, then drop in. But I can promise you this, if you're looking to get ready for the rodeo, there is only one stop to make this year, and it's republicbootcompany.com.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Hey, well, a reminder, too, for all of you out there. Go to Damaris.com right now and get your turkey. Order it now. Now. Do not wait. I'm telling you, do it. Do it. Do it now. It's the best turkey. Best turkey. If you want it for Thanksgiving, make sure you do it now so that you get in. All right, so the Broncos, this is kind of disturbing. They have the most sacks and they give up the fewest sacks. That means their lines are really good. That's a problem. But have they played the Texans yet? The answer is no.
What does that mean?
They haven't played Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
Okay, I thought you meant have they played Blake Fisher and
yeah, they haven't
Jake
done
Andrews.
That either. Ursary. Okay. Ariante. Yeah. Who had his best game last week? Yeah, that's right. That's right, I said it.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll mean a lot on Sunday.
Ooh, Nick Benito.
And Cooper.
Yeah.
And the rest.
Whatever. He's number zero, just like, oh, did you hear Aziz mic'd up? Did you guys hear it?
I saw one thing with him.
Yeah, he was.
I just imagine, like, yeah, let's go!
Yeah,
and then he
screams a lot.
Yeah, I imagine
a
lot of that.
Yeah, that's all I saw.
He screams a lot. Yeah, he was telling Will Anderson, you're my guy. He said a lot of bad words. Aziz says, he says bad words.
You're
my guy. Yeah.
You're my guy.
I don't care what you did. You're my guy.
I don't care what you did.
Well, he jumped off side fence.
Oh, okay. I was like,
Will Anderson should be saying that to Aziz. I don't care if you didn't cover a running back out of the backfield. I don't care if you got a 15-yard penalty. I don't care if you didn't have the speed to get to the edge and beat the guy turning the corner. You're still my guy.
It's rather specific.
I don't care if
mistakes.
You never got downhill and let climbing guards get up on top of you on the second level.
You're
still
what
my guy.
You're what D'Amico was talking about. The
I am.
Negative.
I
okay.
Am.
You just want clicks.
I'm just holding
you just
accountable.
Want clicks.
All I'm doing is trying to hold the people I love accountable.
Nah, they don't hear
the
negative noise anyway, so it doesn't matter.
They don't
you
hear
love
this.
Them, huh?
All no, I'm trying
care.
To do is
you
hold
you don't care
accountable.
About Joe Mixon. You don't care.
I care a lot about him. Well, not now that I dropped him, but I used to care about him a lot.
when you had him on your fantasy team?
No, I actually care if Joe Mixon comes back, but I've just been told by you that he's out for the year.
I've never
and
said
that.
And that
means you don't care about
it. I've never said that in my life.
When's Joe Mixon coming back, John?
No one knows.
Oh, you don't know.
I said no one knows.
Do you think he's coming back?
Me.
Do you think he's coming back this year?
Do I think he's coming back this year? No.
You've told me no. There it is. Out for the year.
I don't tell you he's not coming back.
Don't
I said I don't
Joe.
Think he is. Okay? That's different.
Now, I think Joe's mental health would be benefited by coming back. So I hope he plays because I think he would be better for it. So I do care about him. I don't know why you keep saying we don't.
I know, right?
We want him to play because I assume football is a big part of his life, and being away from football probably is not great for him. So let's go, Joe. In fact, hashtag let's go, Joe.
Yes, and we want Joe to be happy.
And I think football makes him happy.
That's right. Playing football makes everybody happy. Play football, Joe.
Let's go, Joe. No, okay, we're not doing that. All right.
No, we're not doing let's go, Joe. No. All right. We are doing let's go Rockets, right? We are doing that.
Yeah.
Let's go Rockets.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes. Bring them out. I'm sticking the Thunder all day long. Thunder stick. We should have won that first game. We should have won the second game. It's like we're 3-0.
So they're at Toronto tonight. At Toronto.
I pray for their safety in Toronto.
Okay, so it's a 5:30 game. I think Toronto, they want to get out of there so they can watch the World Series. They've got a 5:30 game
makes
tonight.
Makes sense.
Wait, why is it 5:30? Oh, yeah, World Series, yeah. It's got to be.
Yeah, I mean.
Wait a minute, though. The NBA is acquiescing a schedule to the point of having a game at a time. Now, it's an Eastern Conference. It's an Eastern time zone. But they're doing a 5:30 start.
Right, which is 6:30 there.
Which isn't crazy.
No, that's not crazy, but it is early. It is not normally that early. But I think, they probably said, you know what, let's move this up a little bit.
It makes sense that for the NBA to play along with baseball like that and the Toronto fans is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool because for us, people like us, we would care about both games.
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly, we actually probably would barely watch any of the Raptors game. We'd be watching. We'd just be locked in a World Series.
Well,
this is World Series.
Let's Seattle had their playoff game while they were playing the Texans.
Yeah, but you're not caring about. There's 78 more games to go. Like the World Series is going to have all your attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
But and you're probably the game's in LA, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
So the game starts.
So you're not going to go to the park.
The game starts at 5.
You'll probably watch.
7, right?
You'll probably watch the Raptors on TV for the first half.
It's 7 o'clock at home. So the hour, you're going to be.
Oh, you'll be done.
You're going to have about an hour left of the Rockets game when you throw the first pitch.
Not 6:30 Eastern, yeah. And it starts 8 o'clock Eastern?
For them, yeah.
Yeah, they'll watch the first half.
Yeah.
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 By the way, don't waste your time with the Expos documentary, Who Killed the Montreal Expos on Netflix. Wasn't that great?
No.
It's like, they got Larry Walker, Pedro Martinez. They've got some different guys they talk to. And I learned stuff about how dysfunctional the Expos ownership was. Basically, the dollar, I can't remember what the dollar is in Canada, what it's called, but their currency, but it was worth about 71 cents to the dollar. And the athletes were being paid in American dollars. So they were, and the economy in Quebec City and Montreal was just, it wasn't good. I mean, they were having a hard time keeping hospitals open. They were trying to get a new stadium. Like, it never had a chance. The Expos literally never had a chance. I didn't realize that baseball went back to the early 1900s in Canada. I didn't realize that.
Really?
But so there were some interesting factoids, but when it's all said and done, there's something annoying about having to read. I'll read a screen if it's in most languages, but French-Canadian, for some reason, it was annoying me. And you know why? Because the filmmaker was French-Canadian. And I know that every one of those people on that screen can speak English. I know that for a fact that each, and don't ask me how I know it's a fact. It just is a fact. Every one of them can speak French and English. Every one of them. And they did the whole documentary, and almost everyone other than Larry Walker and Pedro Martinez were speaking, and one other guy, and David Sampson, who's kind of a he's a real smart ass, but they were all speaking French, and I'm like, guys, come on, I know you're making this for a Netflix documentary. Speak English, okay? Yeah. What's right. funny, Dell? Because I'm going full. Speak English.
It's not even this country, and you're telling people to speak English.
I know, but English is also your language, you know, too. If you wander outside of Quebec City, you're speaking English.
You know,
Toronto's not speaking French anywhere else. Canada's not speaking French in Vancouver.
I mean, there are documentaries from other parts of the world. You're not yelling at them to speak English if you watch
Yeah, but this is especially irritating because I know the Canadians can speak English. I don't know for sure. If it's Spain, that's your language. But let's face it, outside of Quebec City and Montreal, everywhere else speaks only English. So do yourself a favor and make yourself more Netflix friendly. Speak English.
I just think when you think about
tired of reading this.
You're yelling.
That's something I would say.
You're yelling.
I love that you're
at people in a
when it came
country,
out of my mouth and Dell starts cackling, laughing in there, I knew it. Like I probably went over the top.
They're
here.
In a different country, and you think you should tell them how to speak?
They speak English there, though.
I am an ugly American here, but I don't care. If you want me to enjoy your Netflix documentary, I don't want to have to. It just got annoying to be like, oh, my God. I'm going to keep reading this French when I know you can speak English perfect. And it's probably your primary English, primary language everywhere outside of Quebec City. Come on. What are we doing? They just didn't have enough money. They don't have billionaires there. Like, Jeffrey Loria came in and was a creep. Oh, my God. Jeffrey Loria was terrible. And his son, David Sampson, who was the stepson who ran the team.
Son-in-law, right?
No.
Stepson.
Stepson.
Okay.
He ran the team at age 30 or 31. Oh, my God. They couldn't have treated the people in Canada. Like, they just dumped on the people in Canada.
Good. Bro.
It was. But it's not, like I said, I would rather... There's other shows I'd rather see other than Who Killed the
Actors. I just think of your letterbox review. Speak English!
Right. I wouldn't usually say that, but for Canadians, I feel like, come on. We're on common ground here.
Do this underdog commercial in French.
Okay. I wish I could fake a French...
With a French accent.
I got to air check these. You sure you want to do that?
Nope, I All don't. Right. Because then I'm going to have to redo it.
I would.
Did you have on the flex option in when si on tot un deux and song and the song that is saying? I don't know.
He's doing it with a German accent.
They have a history.
Creeps back. Listen, Underdog Fantasy.
They have a history.
This is a start point right here for Underdog Fantasy. Just know this. You got World Series. Oh, did you go lower on? You said, you know what? I'm going to fade the public. After a big game like Shohei had, I'm going lower on total bases on Shohei. And you won. Or you said, I'm going higher on total batters faced for Shohei. Because this is what I was looking at. This is what I said. I said, look, the bullpen just got used like crazy in the last game. They've got to have Shohei go six innings. So I went higher than 17.5 innings pitched. That was a winner. That's what you do. See, you take a look at the games. You break them down. You've got Rockets playing tonight. You know, you'll go take a look at, can Tari Eason do it again? Have they readjusted the numbers on Tari Eason? Are we going lower on Reed Shepard because it looks like he might start losing some of his minutes a little bit? It's things like that. We break down the games, and we make decisions on higher or lower based on how we think the game is going to go. So that's how you do it with Underdog Fantasy. It's great. With Underdog Fantasy, you have so many stats for so many players that there's something for everyone. You can pick multiple players where you go higher or lower, and the more you pick, the payouts get really, really high. And if you want, you say, I feel good about this, but not this one so much, then put the flex option in so you can win three or four or five, and you still get paid. It's my good friends over at Underdog Fantasy. I've been speaking for them for 3 years. I love Underdog Fantasy. Download the app, use promo code Lance on your first deposit, and you are going to get $100 in bonus funds and bonus entries when you spend your first $5. That's it. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Must be 18+ and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_DFS_HTML for details. Conserve with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.